Hari Hei Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastoma Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 36. Gajendra continued, My Lord, those who are completely freed from material contamination always meditate upon you within the cores of their hearts. You are extremely difficult to attain for those like me who are too attached to mental concoction, home, relatives, friends, money, servants, and assistants. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uncontaminated by the modes of nature. You are the reservoir of all enlightenment, the Supreme Controller. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. After worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, attain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. 18 through 19, Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur writes, The Lord is also served by devotees with material desires. Those persons having desires for dharma, kama, artha, and liberation, worshipping the Lord, attain the goal of prema, which is cherished. The Lord certainly gives desired objects to devotees who request them, but he does not give in such a way that the devotee will ask again after finishing his enjoyment. He gives his lotus feet, which include all desirables, to those worshippers who do not desire them. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.19.27. He also gives the material objects they desire. He also gives the spiritual body, as he gave to Dhruva and others. Thus he is unlimitedly merciful. May he liberate me from the crocodile and samsara, and give me a spiritual body and prema bhakti. So, if we ask the Lord for a material desire, then we can get it, but it'll be fulfilled in such a way that we won't ask again. Right? Because if we ask and it goes well, then we'll just keep going like that. So he does it in such a way that we start to see that this is not a benefit. That's the point. We have to give up the material desire, the material need. So by fulfilling of the desire, then we see that it's not as great as we thought. Right? Because we're inspired. Otherwise it's dead matter. And then we become inspired. Then it suddenly becomes something so important and so wonderful. But the same thing to someone else isn't that important. Or the same thing that we have, it's sitting somewhere in our house or in the closet or something, and then we don't even think about it. But if someone brings our attention, then again that attraction is there. Does that make sense? So the point is it's not the object, it's the self. It's our inspiration to be involved with it. So Krishna will give you what you're looking for in such a way that then you lose that interest. So that makes sense. Means if you go to the demigods, you'll get the thing and you'll lose interest anyway because it'll get boring and you'll move on to something else. But Krishna does it in such a way that we lose interest so that we become interested in Krishna consciousness. Yes? Does that work? Yeah. Gajendra continued. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about his activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus I pray to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities, such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, he is beyond the reach of my senses, and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited, he is the original cause, and he is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto him. 2021. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. Unalloyed devotees have nothing to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was circumstantially asking for an immediate benediction because he had no other way to be rescued. Sometimes when there's no alternative, a pure devotee, being fully dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, prays for some benediction. But in such a prayer, there's also regret. One who always hears and chants about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is always situated on a platform on which he has nothing to ask in terms of material benefits. Unless one is a completely pure devotee, one cannot enjoy the transcendental bliss derived from chanting and dancing in the ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement. Right? Because material happiness and spiritual happiness are opposed to each other. You can't actually have them together. Right? So that's why you won't get both. Now, that doesn't mean that the devotees don't have facility and aren't enjoying engaging the senses. But that engagement is about the Lord. So what they're tasting is the Lord. Right? That's what they know. So therefore, Yudhishthira has all the facilities, but he's always thinking about how kind the Lord is. How all that is the Lord, right? That's the whole point. Does that make sense? Yeah.
How does he Prabhupada say that the devotee sometimes asks when there is no alternative, even though he has a regret? So it seems like as if a pure devotee can be put into a circumstance where he has to.
Well, it's like Draupadis who took shelter of Krishna. You know, the circumstances now, who else are you going to turn to? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So far as what I've ever heard is the results from turning towards Alfred E. Newman have been disappointing. Mm-hmm. Right. So, Srila Prabhupada okay.
Such ecstasy is not possible.
Oh, we're up at the top. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was thinking. Because I just remember we were at the bottom of the floor. I was going, wow, we got through this really fast, right?
Second sentence. Just
only read the last paragraph of each page.
Second sentence,
okay. Such ecstasy is not possible for an ordinary devotee.
Right. Ordinary devotee means?
Ordinary, you know, just off the shelf. You know, you have the brand names, and then you just have the house. You know, one that, you know, that, what do you call it? You have Tesco's, and it's Tesco's cornflakes.
Generic.
Yeah, well, they call them generic. Okay. So, in other words, you will not see Tesco's, you know, in-house brand of cornflakes ever rolling around on the ground in ecstasy.
And which one will?
Probably the Kellogg's one. Okay. So, the ordinary devotee, ordinary here would mean that they have material desires. You basically mean you're neophyte. Right? But even that, it's not even that third class, it's not meaning third class devotee. Because third class would be a pure devotee. So here, ordinary would mean with material desire. So being in the material world, having material desire is ordinary. That's standard. So being in the material world, not having material desire, being connected to Krishna, that's special.
So that's us, ordinary?
How you say, if the if the peg shoe fits, wear it. Yeah. So it's just, in other words, what it's saying is that if we maintain material desire, how are we going to taste transcendental ecstasy? Because here we're discussing on a level of transcendence, because we've seen so many times in here, we've been discussing the platform of bhava and that. So we're not discussing just on how to engage everything in Krishna's service and this and that, right? Because as we were saying, when we came up to the seventh canto, now this is eighth, now we're bringing out the point that pure devotion is the standard. Because before it would be saying, I have material desire, just connect everything to Krishna. By always being absorbed in Krishna, one will be purified, and by purified, that will bring one to the transcendental position, and then one, like this, right? That's how it's been discussed before. But in discussing like that, which is totally correct, we might start to think, well, this position is quite all right. But here it's being pointed out that it works, it's connected to Krishna, it'll have effect, but it actually isn't your standard. Right? So therefore it's ordinary. Here we don't mean ordinary meaning just it's typical. Here it means ordinary meaning it's not actually that special.
Regarding Gajendra then?
Yes.
His state now is okay, but before? He didn't seem to be very extraordinary, except for being an elephant.
No, but what was the whole point? He was just an elephant doing his elephant stuff, right? But when he got into this difficulty, then somehow or another he remembered of these prayers and that as Indradyumna's he used to chant. Remember, Indradyumna is the one who established the Jagannath temple, you know, originally.
So that's him.
That's him.
That's him.
I won't ask how he ended up in
this case. That we'll find out. If there's something to find out, but that's that Indradyumna. You understand? So, in other words, he's not just your regular, you know, run-of-the-mill circus elephant here. He's, you know, a big. He's the king of elephants on Trikuta Mountain, where those from the Antariksha go for holidays. Right? Does that make sense?
So our point would be, if he continues that?
Is, then he remembered, then he's speaking on that platform. But before that, he was just king of the elephants.
Mm-hmm. And how would his position be different from Dhruva Maharaj, for example?
Because Dhruva Maharaj is that he's come in contact with it just at this point. But Indradyumna is practicing before. So we see there's the element just like Bharat Maharaj. He was practicing and then that carries through. But in his case, it appears that it didn't carry through so much that he was constantly aware. But when it came to a difficulty, then he became aware. So then, just like Bharat Maharaj in the form of a deer was fully conscious of previous in his position as servant of the Lord, he Gajendra at this point became the same. But because it's a dangerous situation, therefore he's offering the prayers and doing all that. Otherwise, I'm sure Bharat Maharaj as the deer was always remembering the Lord, you know, and taking advantage of the situation. But you're working on just your day-to-day lifestyle. But here, this is a little bit more of a problem. Yes?
So it seems that he's jumping from Anishta straight to the Uttam.
Because before we would consider him on that advanced platform. Remember, he is the one that wanted to see Jagannath. So that when that came up, that he heard that there's a form, there's a deity form. Because I guess at that time there weren't deities.
Yeah.
So then he's the one that went and all that, and then Jagannath arranged so that he could see and everything like that. Right. So he went to see him as Nilamadava, then in that form he disappeared, then as Jagannath, then it was there, but then I'm not sure what it was. I think he went to Brahmaloka to invite him for the installation, because you have different deity installations in potency. So if it's installed by Lord Brahma, that's considered to be the most powerful deities. Then those that are established by the acharyas and great, you know, personalities like that, that's the next. And then just, you know, the devotees themselves in the proper way, that's the third. So then Jagannath was installed by Brahma. But the problem is when he went to find him, went there to get his audience and all this and that, then everything here just moved on. So the temple was, you know, covered and this and that. So, you know, he came back later and then everything was reestablished. And then Lord Brahma came and... So, you know, you would expect he's not an ordinary, you know, just a king.
In one of the Puranas, one devotee, senior devotee was telling, it is mentioned that the crocodile and Gajendra, in previous lives, they are under Kubera.
And they are under Kubera.
They are assistants of Kubera, and they are, in one issue, they fought with each other. So Kubera cursed them.
Okay, and then they became this. But then what they were before that? Because already you mentioned before about him being Indudumna. About Kubera. Yeah, but that's just like Narad Muni before was the son of the maidservant. Before that, he was the Gandharva. But before that, he was Narad Muni. Yeah, so like that. So. Next chapter, it explains everything. So don't worry. Next chapter, you'll hear the story. Yeah, right from the elephant's trunk. Right. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how one can enjoy transcendental bliss simply by chanting, hearing, and dancing in ecstasy. This is Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam, indicating that unless one is situated on this transcendental platform, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord. The benediction of being able to approach the Lord can be achieved after many, many births. Yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has awarded this benediction to everyone, even to the fallen souls who have no heritage of anything in spiritual life. Right? Because he's... Okay. Just thinking, if it was in the West, they'd have to be in a, you know, a top-down Chevy or on a yacht or something to get that kind of noise. So these guys are cool. You in a rickshaw, they can make a, you know, make a party. You know, like that. Okay, so here is that he's awarding to anyone, even there's no heritage, because the thing is it takes many, many births. Because why does that take many, many births? Because we're so stubborn. So we take up Krishna consciousness to some degree, but we get distracted by material desire. We take it up again and again and again like this. But by Lord Chaitanya's grace, then even those who have no heritage, they don't have, you know, any past lifetimes of this, they take it up. So that's what Prabhupada means by he made our fortune. Like that. We don't have that heritage. But somehow or another, by the process, Lord Chaitanya's mercy coming in contact with the mission, right? Like chanting, hearing, and dancing in ecstasy, right? And coming in contact with that, then we take up the mission. Like that. That's the whole point. Does that make sense? Yes.
If we become a bit more technical, we still have to have some Agyata Sukriti to be able, among all those who have no heritage, to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada and his movement.
Yes, but that could be a duck who ate some prasad in the park.
And another one.
Or a bacteria that happened to float by as the devotee was chanting.
You know. Sometimes also we hear that astrologers, devotees, they would say that, you know, somebody in his previous life was doing this and this stuff. So
all they can see is the religious. They can't see what's beyond. Means always know it that astrology can only define dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. It can't define bhakti. What they'll do is they'll look at it, you're religious minded and interested in transcendence or moksha. They'll put that together and say that's devotional. You know what I'm saying? So, as a devotee now, if you had that in previous life, you can understand that that aspect is continuing. But they can't actually tell it's devotional, because how do the stars tell devotion? Right? It means, who's a devotee? Right? From the nine planets, who's a devotee? Right? Shani, right? But what is everybody, you know, when, oh, I'm in Shani period, and then they're all freaking out. Why? Because Shani takes away everything. Why?
He's a devotee.
You got it. Okay. So everybody's worried about Shani. Oh, no, Sati Sapta. Oh, no, this, that. Oh, no, not that. You understand? But he can give more than any other planet. No planet can give as much as he does, but no planet can take away as much. So if you're if the attitude is right, in other words, if you're humble in that, that's his main thing, the Shani Mahatmya. The main point is if you're humble, then you're unaffected by Shani. But if you're not, if you're proud, then he knows his job. Right? So that's the point, is being humble is an important part. It means for it's all the Vedic aspects of Dharma are to come and moksha. Without humility, you can't make them work well. But the point is we're only interested in humility of the connection to bhakti. Right? So using the pious things in the service of the Lord, that's what we do in devotional service. So seeing that someone was pious or religious-minded or these kind of things, then it just means that, yes, one has that kind, karma sukritis, jnana sukritis, but that doesn't mean that they take up devotional service, right? It's just like, okay, let us say we go to South India, right? And you have an open program, right? So hundreds of people come, it'll be half men, half women. You can sit there and speak straight philosophy for 2 hours and no one moves, right? Everybody's cool. What does that mean? But in North, you know, you talk for 5 minutes, they're already falling asleep, getting bored, looking at the phone, so then they start a song. They don't do that in South. South and North, they tell the... Even if you're telling a story, they get bored, so they start singing a song. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and they can't keep rhythm and all that, you know, like that, so... That therefore naturally wakes them up when they all start clapping. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Right, you know, that's the North Indian scene. Yeah, that's the North scene. So naturally you're going to wake up, right? You know, so then like that, then they go back into the story and this and that. So that's North. So they have karma sukriti. They'll give charity, they'll feed, you know, Brahmins, they'll do all that kind of stuff. So they have karma sukriti. But you see, in Bengal, you know, you're going by and you have all these gundas sitting over the corner. You start a kirtan and they're all out there dancing. They have bhakti sukriti. You understand? So it's just different. They have different things. You know, our background, you know, where we come from, whether we have vikarma sukriti. You know, anything sinful coming up, hey, then we want to know about it. You know. Yeah, so like that. So everybody has their particular sukriti. So astrology can give some idea that there's a tendency. And so if in this life there's devotional and you have these particular, they can understand, okay, those qualities came through from last life, but they can't say that the devotion did. We can only say is that one comes to this position by so much sukriti. Right? So there has to be a certain amount of agyata sukriti to come to that. But generally, only pious people come to that platform. Right? So then we can say, as many, many lifetimes of piety, then one comes to devotional service. But what does that mean? We're coming because, you know, anxiety, economics, interest, or knowledge. Right? So that means that even though we're in a pious position, we're not satisfied. There's something missing. So, having gone through, you know, 8,400,000 species of life, tried everything, now it's kind of like, okay, none of this is working, so there must be something more. So when we come in contact, we want to know, why isn't there something beyond all this? And then we come in contact with the devotees. Super soul, as soon as you say that, then or think that, you come in contact with the devotees. Right? Then if you're interested, you take it from there. And then it's up to you how quickly you move and things like that. So we see some devotees, you know, they come to the town years and years and years, and then finally they get serious. Others, they come in contact once and they're serious. So that just depends upon the individual. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Gajendra continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates his minor parts and parcels. the Jiva Tattva, beginning with Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the expansions of Vedic knowledge. Sama, Rig, Yajra, and Atharva, right? So, and including all other living entities. So that means the personified Vedas or Jivas, right? They're living entities that are so well versed in that scripture that they are the personification of that scripture. Right? So Brahma is surrounded, who lives on Brahma Loka, they're personified Vedas. And we see that this may also answer your question about the primordial demigods, because there it mentions there the personified Vedas, and so it says here personified Vedas or Jivas. So, and including all other living entities, moving and non-moving, with their different names and characteristics. Yeah, so by Prabhupada's grace, we've gone from the non-moving into the moving. Right? We've moved up. Like that. As the sparks of a fire or the shining rays of the sun emanate from their source and merge into it again and again, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of the different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and merge into Him. He is night, so that's the thing. It's coming from Him, it's going back into Him, because that's all there is. It's not localized. The point is, this is coming out, it's manifest, and it goes back into Him. So at any point of the creation, everything that we're dealing with is all coming from the Lord. And the whole point is that's supposed to go back to the Lord. It will go back to the Lord, but do you want credit for it going back to the Lord? Right? It's not that we did it, but we can be instrumental in its going. Does that make sense?
Help somebody go back to the Lord. Doesn't sound so good.
Okay, the vegetable came from the Lord.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Then you take part as an instrument in putting it into your little blender, and then pushing the button, making sure it was plugged in, right, like that. And then after that, then offering it back to the Lord. So it came from the Lord, it went back to the Lord. So we can be an instrument in that. If not, the vegetable will sit out there in the cabbage patch, and it will go back to the Lord. Yeah. So. He is neither demigod nor demon, neither human nor bird nor beast. He is not woman, man, or neuter, nor is he an animal. He is not a material quality, a fruit of activity, a manifestation or a non-manifestation. Right? So this idea that he's just nothingness, he's also not nothingness. He is the last word in the discrimination of not this, not this. When you get not this, then you end up at the end as Krishna, and you can't say he's not this. Right? He is everything. So. And he is unlimited. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I do not wish to live any more after I am released from the attack of the crocodile. What is the use of an elephant's body covered externally and internally by ignorance? I simply desire eternal liberation from the covering of ignorance. That covering is not destroyed by the influence of time. All right, so time won't get rid of it. It'll change it, but it won't get rid of it. Right? So, yeah. Yes. So he wants liberation from the covering of ignorance. He didn't say liberation from being in the material world. Right? Because that was pointed out before, made very clear. Devotees aren't looking for liberation. They just want to be freed from material consciousness and always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah.
There will be a hankara
covering of ignorance. Means, no, I'm the controller and enjoyer. You have to get both. Because I'm the controller ends up as liberation, I'm the enjoyer ends up as a fruit of, going to the heavenly plan is fruit of, like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, the Lord says, by these prayers you desire to be freed from the crocodile. Gajendra says, no, I do not desire to live, because what is the use of being born as an elephant covered by ignorance internally and externally? And you can say about the elephant there is substantial ignorance there if you're counting internally and externally, right? Then what do you desire? I desire freedom without destruction from the covering on persons like me, which causes forgetfulness of the Lord by ignorance. Or I desire that the bolt on the door hiding Vaikuntha is released, destroy my lack of qualification for attaining you. Right, I desire freedom without destruction from the... So, freedom from the being in material entangled without destruction means the living entity merges into the Lord. Because that's... Even though the jiva still is a jiva, but their consciousness, they can't tell the difference. So their individuality is destroyed at that point. Right? But as an individual soul, they're still there. So why is that? You could say, well, that's a false identity. So merging into Brahman does not get rid of the false identity that I'm the controller and enjoyer. It maintains it. Right? It's on the subtlest platform, but one still has it. Otherwise, why Brahmananda? Right? Are we talking about Brajananda? You know? No. So that's the... Gajendra continued. Now, fully desiring a lease from material life, I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Person who is the creator of the universe, who is himself the form of the universe, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation. He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, right? So the point is that he's beyond. So you're getting this achinta beta beta tattva part is coming out, right? Because that is the point. That's the realization of Vyasadeva. When he wrote Mahabharata and all the other Vedic literatures, he wasn't seeing from the platform of achinta beta beta tattva. But after the instructions of Narad Muni given in the first canto, then in trance he saw this. So this very point is how the Lord is the creator, he's the maintainer of the universe, he is the universe, he's all the ingredients of the universe, but at the same time he's beyond the universe, he's transcendental to the universe. That aspect, that chinta beta beta tattva, that's then what's special. So we see as this is coming out more and more. It's always there, but now it's very much being brought out. Because before you see like... In the fourth canto, fifth canto, they're talking about how he's Lord of the universe, controlling the demigods. They talk more of how he's, as Paramatma, how he controls everything. But now we see as they're focusing more on him as Bhagavan. Right? Second canto, third canto, there's so much on how he's Brahman. But it goes at Bhagavan, it takes it all the way through. But through the meeting of understanding Brahman, then you get to realize the Lord. Then it goes into Paramatma. Now it's going into Bhagavan. Right, so all three stages will mention all three features, but it's just there'll be more focus on one area than on the other. Does that make sense? Yeah. He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, the supersoul of the universe. He is the unborn, supremely situated Lord. Right, because when you say supersoul of the universe, you start thinking beyond. Right, we just think super soul here, we think, okay, he's witness, he's control, super soul of the universe. And then there's the super soul of the cosmic manifestation. I mean, the Mahatattva. But then actually you get back to Krishna, he's the soul of the cosmos. So, yeah. He is the unborn, supremely situated Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, the Supersoul, the Master of all mystic yoga, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of fruit of activity by practicing bhakti yoga. So then when these yogis get to that point, that's when they actually see the Lord. So as Paramatma, then even they're not... There's the aspect of they've controlled the senses so they're able to therefore see the super soul because they're not engaging on the fruitive platform. That's if they get past the mystic siddhis. Right? Because when you get into that point of that advanced jhana and all that, then mystic siddhis come up. And so most will get distracted by that in Haribol. Right? But if they continue further, then they'll see the super soul. But then those who then see the super soul in devotion, they actually see Bhagavan. because they take up bhakti yoga. But if they only see him as Paramatma, they don't necessarily take up devotional service. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, bhakti is the only thing that really clears everything. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. The king of the elephants, Gajendra, simply accepted that there must be someone who has created this cosmic manifestation and who has supplied its ingredients. This should be admitted by everyone, even the most determined atheists. Why then do the non-devotees and atheists not admit this? Right? If an elephant can admit it, why can't they? Right? So the point is that there's something beyond. Even if they don't want to worship, they don't want to this and that, but there has to be something beyond. So we see all the Vedic philosophies accept this. Like that. So if you're atheistic, it's not Vedic. So that makes sense. Yeah. The reason is that they are polluted by the reactions of their fruitive activities. One must be freed from all the dirt accumulated within the heart due to fruitive activities performed one after another. One must wash off this dirt by practicing bhakti yoga. Yoga randita karmana. As long as one is covered by material nature's modes of ignorance and passion, there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Lord. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dhyaschaye. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19. When one is freed from the modes of ignorance and passion, one becomes freed from the lowest qualities, kama and lobha, lust and greed. And so, if we take up devotional service and just sincerely try to want to serve the Lord, we become situated in that. So then the point is to keep ourselves in that position by proper association, proper practice, proper contemplation. Then we just naturally progress. So it's not that everybody can't be on this platform. It's just the tendency is we don't stay on that platform. We could, but we tend to not. So, yeah. Gajendra continued, "My Lord, you are the controller of formidable strength in three kinds of energy. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure and the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but you are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy the jiva, who is part and parcel of God, forgets his real identity because of the bodily concept of life. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories are difficult to understand." 28-29, Srila Prabhupada comments, "Maya covers the living entity because of his willingness to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead and make his own plan to enjoy this material world." Right? So it's willing. We may say we don't like it because that's the trouble we get from it. But if we weren't getting trouble, we don't mind it. Does that make sense? So it's when there's trouble, that's when we remember Krishna. When it's going nice, we may or may not remember Krishna. So that's the point. We willingly then come under the control of Maya. Right? Because she just offers. You don't have to take. Right? Does that make sense? You say somebody offers you a Limburger cheese sandwich, you don't have to take it. Yeah?
That's an easy one.
Sorry?
That's an easy one to reject.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but it's just to give the idea. "As long as this contamination continues, the conditioned soul will be unable to understand his real identity and will perpetually continue under illusion life after life. Ato griha kshetra sutapta viter janasya moho yam aham mameti. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8. As long as the living entity is not enlightened, so that he may understand his real position, he will be attracted to materialistic life, to house, country, or field, to society, sons, family, community, bank balance, and so on. Covered by all this, he will continue to think, 'I am this body, and everything related to this body is mine.' This materialistic concept of life is extremely difficult to surmount. but one who surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as did Gajendra, the king of the elephants, comes to enlightenment on the Brahman platform. Right. So then you understand how the Lord is everything in everything. So you see the Lord in that feature. You know he's a person and all that, but we haven't necessarily developed love for him in that position yet. But we can see that the Lord is there in everything. That will keep us in the pure condition where we won't be interested in all other kind of mundane stuff. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then we try to get to the actual. Then we continue in that. Then it will come closer and closer. So that's why we associate. Right? We associate, we read the scriptures so that we keep progressing. Right? Does that make sense? Verses 30 to 33. The Lord saves Gajendra and the crocodile. Shri Sukadev Goswami continued, when the king of the elephants was describing the supreme authority, without mentioning any particular person, he did not invoke the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and Chandra. Thus none of them approached him. However, because Lord Hari is the super soul, Purushottama, the personality of Godhead, he appeared before Gajendra. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, the devas like Brahma, appointed by the Lord to protect the righteous, did not come because they were unable to protect Gajendra, who described the non-material form of the Lord. Right? Because they have a material form. So he described the non-material form of the Lord. So that's not the demigods or anyone else. They identified themselves with various characteristics, like having a swan carrier or Airavata as a carrier, or being a creator or king of heaven. They thought, Gajendra has not praised us at all, but rather belittled us, calling us minor expansions. Verse 22, what to do? So let the Supreme Lord whom he praised come for him. We're not going like that because he didn't praise us, so we're just minor characters. He's the big guy, so let the big guy say that. But he will not appear immediately. We know he is hard to attain by his nature. Therefore, the elephant will die. When they showed such indifference out of false identity, the Lord at that moment appeared there, since he knows the minds of all beings, right? So one is the sincerity of Gajendra, and also that the demigods weren't going to help, and then they were doing that with attitude. It wasn't that, this crocodile is so powerful they can't do anything, or whatever was the other thing, they have a lunch appointment, something important that they can't do. But no, it's just they were thinking, they were out of pride. The devas did not know that just as leaves are watered by watering the root of a tree, so all devatas are praised by praising Vishnu. Right? So this is a moment where the demigods weren't properly Krishna conscious, not favorably. Right? Because there's the whole point of being Krishna conscious and then being favorable. So unalloyed devotion means you're favorably. So therefore persons like Kamsa and Ravana and that, who are fully Krishna conscious, like that, and they're benefiting, but what's the benefit they get? They can merge into the Lord. Right? So the point is that the how do you say? Because the devotees are favorable in their Krishna consciousness, therefore they develop a relationship with the Lord. They go to the Lord. Is that what I said? Yes. A little louder.
Such an interesting scene is going on because the demigods saying let him die and the Lord intervenes the situation. This is the same we can say for the astrologers who say that the planets are such and such, so you're doomed to have such situation.
But yeah, that's if you're surrendered to the Lord.
They have their own characteristics, they have their own personality.
Yes, of course. Of course, if you're surrendered to the Lord. Yeah. If you're thinking I am this identity, then that's how it will go. But if you're surrendered to the Lord, then the point is it doesn't have to be a bad situation. Right? In material history, how many people lost everything and they write books about it? That they lost everything and the book is about them completely, or they're in the book? They're in the book, but I'm saying the book is about them. Huh?
Yudhishthir.
Because he's a devotee. So though, even though he's lost everything, which you would think would make him, he's got nothing, but he becomes the most famous, the most celebrated. So that's the whole point, is that even things do go according to one's previous activities. It doesn't matter. If one's Krishna conscious, it'll always come out to be wonderful. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that the Lord goes by the attitude that's there. So he saw that Gajendras was proper, the demigods were improper. Right? So, because the demigods said he won't show up because he's the Supreme Lord, he's hard to get, and so you're not going to get him, you're an elephant, but you could have gotten us. You know, we're easier to please, but you didn't mention us, you just considered us to be something minor, so therefore we're not going either, so therefore sorry. Like that, you know. But then the Lord, okay, then he'll go. So, by praising Vishnu, you're praising the demigods, because they're part and parcel of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord means that whole thing. So when you take care of him, they're also being glorified. As in another point, when Indra was Krishna conscious, he's saying about worshipping him. But the context, you can tell from Vedanta Sutra, is explaining that the Upanishads are showing that he means the Supreme, who is the potency behind him. Right? In other words, that person is seeing Indra. Why? Because he's interested, you know, there must be some kind of interest, or that's the medium that he's using. He's a great king, he's interacting with the king of heaven, right? They're going to talk king stuff, right? But then in doing that, he says that you should, you know, worship, you know, me, meaning the Supreme Lord, who's actually the position, the potency, the ability, the actions and results of what happens. Right, so then he as the king can come to that transcendental platform by worshipping the Lord, seeing that all those activities are being done, because what Indra does, that's what King Pratardana would be doing also. Does that make sense? So therefore, through that worship of the Lord within the position that he's in, seeing the Lord in that way, then he'll come to the transcendental state. Does that make sense? So we see is that there's times when Indra is very Krishna conscious, sometimes when he's, you know, just feels bad that he wasn't so Krishna conscious, and then times like this when they're not very Krishna conscious. Right? That's the meaning of neophyte. So it's like he may be a big person, but they're not that steady in devotional service. Right? They don't forget the Lord, but it's not that they really remember him always favorably. Does that make sense? That's why it's not recommended to go to heavenly planets. Right? It's recommended to stay within the Sankirtan mission and become a pure devotee. That's the recommendation.
And also they're not considering the sincerity of Gajendra. They're just saying...
Yes. No, they're not. Because they're not in his heart, so they can't see that. Anyway. Okay, Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. After understanding the awkward condition of Gajendra, who had offered his prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who lives everywhere, appeared with the demigods, who were offering prayers to him, carrying his disc and other weapons, so he brings them along, right? So they're not going to go, but they're going to be with the Lord. The Lord manifests, they want to be with him, so they're offering prayers to him, and then lo and behold, you find out he shows up where Gajendra is, right? So that will glorify him and kind of put their mentality balancing. Okay? Carrying his disc and other weapons, he appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda, with great speed according to his desire. Thus he appeared before Gajendra according to his desire. It wasn't that he was forced. Gajendra is not, I on for the prayers, you have to come. No. Srila Prabhupada explains. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically hints that since Gajendra was in such a difficult position and was praying for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods who could have immediately gone to his rescue hesitated to go there, since they considered Gajendra's prayers to be directed towards the Lord. They felt offended, and this in itself was offensive. Consequently, when the Lord went there, they also went and offered prayers to the Lord so that their offense might be excused. Yeah. How you say? The demigods do a lot of backpedaling. You know, that's part of being, seems to being a demigod. Right?
It's part of being covered by mode of passion?
Yes, because you're always going to... In other words, you're doing the proper activity in the proper way, But the consciousness isn't always proper. That's mode of passion. Mode of goodness means it's proper. But it's not necessarily transcendental. So we're saying use mode of goodness in a pure way. So therefore pure goodness. So it's transcendental. That's the... That's why we were discussing this morning. That's why those who are actually really situated nicely in passion can understand our philosophy better than those in ignorance. Because they see the practicalness, the directness of it, the clarity of it. But it's just they have material desire. But they can see it very clearly and see it's correct. So then by that it develops faith and they get purified and move forward. Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Gajendra had been forcefully captured by the crocodile in the water and was feeling acute pain. But when he saw that Narayana, wielding his disc, was coming in the sky in the back of Garuda, he immediately took a lotus flower in his trunk, and with great difficulty due to his painful condition, he uttered the following words, O my Lord Narayana, Master of the Universe, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Srila Prabhupada comments, The king of the elephants was very eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that when he saw the Lord coming in the sky, with great pain and in a feeble voice, he offered respect to the Lord. A devotee does not consider a dangerous position to be dangerous, for in such a dangerous position he can fervently pray to the Lord in great ecstasy. Thus a devotee regards danger as a good opportunity. Tat te nukampam shushamikshamana. Right? So it's not that he goes out looking for danger. Right? It means he performs his duties, and then being in the material world, one will always be in danger. That just comes on its own. You don't have to. When a devotee is in great danger, he sees that danger to be the great mercy of the Lord, because it is an opportunity to think of the Lord very sincerely and with undiverted attention. Tat te nukampam shushamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. He does not accuse the Supreme Personality of Godhead for having let his devotee fall into such a dangerous condition. Rather, he considers that dangerous condition to be due to his past misdeeds and takes it as an opportunity to pray to the Lord and offer thanks for having been given such an opportunity. When a devotee lives in this way, his salvation, his going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. We can see this to be true from the example of Gajendra, who anxiously prayed to the Lord and thus received an immediate chance to return home, back to Godhead.
Immediate?
Immediate. That's what it says. Immediate. Do you want to know how many nanoseconds?
No, 1,000 years he was stuck with the crocodile. Or after he prayed, it was... They fought for 1,000 years.
Yes.
So I'm saying immediate from that, or immediate as soon as he remembered and offered prayer.
He means 1,000 years of fighting. Then he remembers the Lord, offers his prayers. Then the Lord comes, and he's then take it. For the example of Gajendra, who anxiously prayed to the Lord and thus received an immediate chance to return home. So by rendering devotional service, that made for his immediate chance to return. Right? Not that he was such a great wrestler that the Lord he needed a guy like that, you know, and Vaikuntha and all that. All the other guys were kind of not so good. Yes.
The Shri Vaishnavas, they say that because he was praying so fervently, Gajendra, and the speed of Garuda was less, therefore, you know, God Vishnu, you know, he catches Garuda and he just pulls him, you know.
Okay. It can be. The point is that if the Acharyas are mentioning that, because you have to understand is that this pastime is going to be a regular thing. You know what I'm saying? Because the universes, they always have the same elements within them. Does that make sense? You know, just like churning of the milk ocean. It's happened, there's so many forms of it. Because every time the universe comes, then it's going to be. So you have unlimited manifestations. So that there's one like that is not a problem. Like that. So that's why the acharyas, then they reveal these things. And so then following that, you get the benefit. The point is, it's not how it happened. His point is that the Lord, he takes the protection of his devotee or the sincerity of the devotee very seriously. So in this way, then, by doing that pastime, if he drags Garuda there, then that means how much dear he is to the devotees, right? Because that's what it's supposed to bring out, right? Because that closeness, that dearness, that's special, right? Right? And that's based on the qualities. That's where the oneness is. So special qualities. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the... Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in such an aggrieved position, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, immediately got down from the back of Garuda by his causeless mercy and pulled the king of the elephants, along with the crocodile, out of the water. Then, in the presence of all the demigods who were looking on, the Lord severed the crocodile's mouth from his body with his disc. In this way, he saved Gajendra, the king of the elephants." Right, because no one else could pull them out. Right, so then he just goes himself and just pulls them out. Right, then he kills the crocodile. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, "Because Garuda was moving..." Okay, here it is. "Because Garuda was moving too slow, the Lord got off his back and, grasping the trunk of the elephant with his left hand, pulled him out of the lake to the bank. Then with his right hand, using his chakra, he severed the snout of the crocodile and freed the elephant, while the devas stood watching with absorption. However, the Lord ignored them." So, that doesn't mean getting there. It means once they're there, they're there, but then he's not. So then the Lord just pulls them out and kills them. So with one hand he pulls them out, the others he... Right? Okay, good? Wow. Good page. This is really good. Question 4. How many legs does Gajendra have?
It seems like we just read the prayers of Gajendra. Prayers in the Bhagavad seem to follow like a standard model. Like the devotee will always pray to appreciate the position of the Lord, and he'll mention how certain people realize you. And this model seems to be a little bit different from how Acharyas pray. They always seem to emphasize humility and want to have a relationship with the Lord. What's the difference?
We're in 8th canto. Means you're talking about the songs of the Acharyas.
I was coming at it from the perspective that the whole of Bhagavatam is considered Rasa Shastra. It's meant to ultimately lead to a relationship.
Yes, but the point is you have to be able to see that, because the thing is when Krishna and the gopis, when they get together, what kind of discussions are they having? They're talking about as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything like that. But the point is what's their relationship with that person? Right? Understand? So that's the point, is that these are just standard positions. This is tattva. So which aspects of tattva and this and that we're going to discuss? Because it has to be within something that's... We're going to discuss about the material world because we're here, and he's the Lord of that. Otherwise, how do we understand beyond? So that means creator, maintainer, destroyer, the Lord of the modes, the transformation depends upon how technical or not. So yes, it is the same kind of formula, but it's different. Just like, okay, let us say we're making a cookie. Okay? Now, you could say that, well, all cookies, it's just you just take some flour and some, liquid and mix them together, and you got a cookie. And so all these different cookies, that's all they are. But those who know cookies, is that how they look at it? That's a structure. Otherwise, how do you call it prayers? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it means it's a structure. There's a format. So Purana, it's a format. Upanishads, it's a format. That's what it means. So when you're dealing with the literary, there's format. So Kavya was going to always bring out these different kinds of aspects. So it's not a problem. If we look at it, and it means, in other words, you're looking at the words, so then you're saying, oh, they're all the same. But the meaning of the words, what they're expressing, that has the unique flavor and everything like that. You know, it's just like the popular cliche back in the 50s and 60s when rock music came out, is all the adults just said, oh, this is noise. Right? Now, that same exact music that before was noise and this, you know, I mean, the degradation of society and the end of anything good and nice is elevator music now. You go down to the supermarket, that's what's playing. Understand? So, you know, after 50 years, they figured out it wasn't noise.
So it really depends on the relationship with the Lord of the person who's praying.
That, and also the position of the person reading the prayers. What you're gaining from. What does it mean when they say that? They've used the same words, but I mean, how many words are there? You know what I'm saying? Technically, there are 2,000 word roots. That's it. Of that, 1,200 we actually use regularly. Then by grammar, then you can create your millions of words. So it looks like, oh, the dictionary is so big and fat. But actually, they're all just derivatives of the same roots. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So the point is therefore, but that's all that's necessary to explain the basis for interaction. All whatever you want to say and experience and feel can be explained within that. That's why it's there. That's why it doesn't need to be more than that. So you have that, but you can put it together in millions of ways. Does that make sense? So in other words, let us say we have a concise dictionary, and we have one of those big fat ones that you see down at the universities. Now, they'll have basically the same root words in there. Just the fat one will have more. Or it may have ones that aren't regularly used. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, they'll all have from the 1,200, but then, you know, the big one might have the other 800 that are out of the 2,000. I mean, that was the thing before. Old English only had, like that, a few thousand words. But then by grammar, then you made unlimited words. Otherwise, how is it that the Veda uses the most obscure meanings of words? The Veda itself, Vedic Sanskrit. And so Yaska is the, you know, authority. It means he is the lexicographer for Vedic Sanskrit. It's only 100 pages long. And it has everything in it. How? Because of the grammar. You know how to define it.
So you're saying that although the model is the same, there will be subtle differences.
Of course. And as you go through, just like we're explaining, now we see is that's more on the person. He's talking about all this, but it's always ending up on the person. When we were seeing before with Prithu Maharaj and all the demigods come and pray and everything, everybody came forward, it was more about Paramatma. And then where we're seeing down in the second and third cantos, it's more about the Brahman aspect of the Lord, how the Lord is the universe.
It's interesting, because then you have like Bhishma and Queen Kunti in the first canto.
First canto is another thing. First canto is wrapping up, you could say, what would be lacking in the Mahabharata. But Bhishma Dev, when he's speaking there on the bed of arrows, who is he glorifying? Who does he consider the great devotees?
The gopis.
Right? Here's a big warrior laying on his bed of arrows. You're not going to get more, you know, manly than that. Right? You know? Like that. And so he's talking about the gopis. So that's the whole thing, is that that's because that's all the preliminary. Because the question was, how is it that the Bhagavatam was spoken? So the whole Bhagavatam is including the preliminaries to get to that, But what Sukadev Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj begins at that second canto and ends kind of halfway through 12th canto. So before that, that's just Sutta Goswami and the sages at Naimisharanya in the first canto and in the last half of the 12th canto. Okay. So what we have is Bhagavatam, what Vyasadeva compiled based on what Sutta Goswami spoke, which includes everything that Sukadeva Goswami spoke. So,
right.
Like that. So you have to learn to the difference. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you take metal. Okay? Now, basically, you don't put any melody into how you say, you don't have any melody, you work it into the rhythm. Does that make sense?
Not really into music.
Okay. Okay, you don't get the analogy. Okay.
Not very musically incorrect.
Okay.
Fortunately.
I've lost even where I was going with it. Okay. Okay. What about IT? Okay, no problem. Okay, can you tell the difference between a Samsung, an Apple, HTC, and all those?
Blindfold.
Yes, okay. But to someone else, then they're just all funny phones that got very large screens. They all do the same exact thing. But to the nerd, no, it's like worlds of difference. You think they're the same. What planet are you from? You understand? Is that working out?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the same with the prayers. Like that.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Chapter 4. Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. Pratigya. A devotee who tolerates everything in this material world and patiently executes his devotional service can become a bona fide candidate for liberation. That's a major Bhagavatam verse, this one. Adhyaya Prakashika. This fourth chapter describes the previous birth of Gajendra and the crocodile. It tells how the crocodile became a Gandharva and how Gajendra became an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was a king on the Gandharva planet whose name was Huhu. Since this king, Huhu, was enjoying with women in the water, yeah, but don't, if Gandharva comes along and he mentions what's his name, he says Huhu, don't laugh. Because they're very, very powerful. Okay. Once this king who was enjoying with women in the water, and while enjoying, he pulled the leg of Devala Rishi, who was also taking a bath in the water. Upon this, the sage became very angry and immediately cursed him to become a crocodile, right? Because crocodiles come and grab legs of, you know, living entities that are in the water.
The sage is usually, I mean, there's a pattern there, they like to curse. Because...
No, let us put it this way. They're effective in their curse.
They are.
So therefore, they use it on a regular basis. We're not effective, so we only say bad things to our friends, you know, about the third party.
We have to say it to the third party?
You can say it to the first party, but my point is does it actually happen? So therefore, we just, you know, we use terms like speak our mind, this and that. Does that make sense? So in other words, the ability to curse, that's one of the definitions of a muni, or of a sage, is that because of their austerities, then they have that power to curse. Right? And also, because of their austerity, if they're not devotees, they tend to be a bit easily angered. They're not angered just by anything, they're angered by things that are improper. So he is a sage, he's in the water, he's doing whatever he's doing, chanting his mantras, taking his bath, he's doing something proper. And then the king of the Gandharvas is in the water. Okay, he's doing his Grihastha kind of jazz, but it's not, you know, sadhana as such, you know. And so then, you know, just to impress the ladies, and, you know, he's in that mood, you know, he pulls the, like that, because the ladies are going to laugh, of course, right? And so then that's wrong, because you're not supposed to do that, you know. You know, if there's another Gandharva king there with his ladies, you want to go over and pull his leg, go ahead. Then you'll see what happens. You know, so. In other words, when we make a joke, it means, in other words, we make a joke, but it didn't work out so good. So we shouldn't be surprised, right? Because in English, at least, I don't know if it's American, you say when you make a joke on somebody and they didn't necessarily take it right, you're just saying, I was pulling your leg. But the point is it didn't work out very good for the king of the Gandharvas pulling someone's leg. He ended up as a crocodile. So. Yes?
So when they stage, they curse, and usually then the curse, you know, there's a lot of suffering involved with the person who's cursed. So this, the whole karma, where is it going, this, you know, all the suffering, who absorbs it?
Who absorbs it means...
It means
the person who's cursed.
When he's suffering.
Yes.
When after the curse.
Yes, and so by that suffering, then it's being burned off.
So his own karma is burning off.
Yes, his own karma is burning off. Because in other words, he did something and he got a reaction. So, see, is normally it's just what you're going through the modes of nature taking care. But if you mess around with these sages, because they have tapasya, they have shakti,
right,
then part of that shakti goes into the curse. So that's why it has power. It reduces theirs. So depending upon how powerful they are and how big is the curse, it will take more or less of their stock of qualities. Because otherwise, I'm not sure, I can't remember, but I think there's something where something happens and then they have to go and meditate and everything like that, you know, to get back their power, because they release so much of it in anger. Maybe. Yeah, so they always have to, you know, that it's not an uncommon thing. That's why we say they can curse, because they have the potency from doing all those austerities. But then, you know, that's where it gets used. So the point is, but at least when they do it what's in accordance to what matches what they're doing wrong. Right? You know, they go and catch people in the water that they shouldn't, you know, without them knowing and all that. So that's what crocodiles do. You know? In other words, a crocodile comes and bothers someone with no provocation. So even also those Apsara girls that were going by, that one brahmachari, and then they tried to distract him. There was no need. They were just doing it to see if they could. And so then he turned them into crocodiles. Because crocodiles, see, alligator, if it's hungry, it will go after you. But otherwise, if an alligator is eaten, you can walk right by it and it'll just sit there. It won't bother you. But a crocodile, even if it's full, will catch you anyway and keep you for later. Like that. So they're greedy.
Nice to know what's the difference between the two.
One that has very nice, the teeth are all exactly nice, and the crocodiles are all like, you know, it looks like, in other words, the crocodile didn't have braces and the alligator did.
Now we know.
Yes, now you know. But to be able to tell whether they're hungry or not, that's another thing. So if they look in the middle real fat and all that, then maybe. But I wouldn't bank on it. I'm just saying it's there. Okay. So therefore, because he did that there, or Narad Muni and the Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, they're walking around naked. Trees are naked, and so then, you know, they ended up as trees like that. So it matches. It's not just anything. You know, it's not like us. Taxi driver upsets you, and then you get out of the taxi, and then the earth opens up, and as he drives, his taxi falls in, and then it closes. And
it matches.
Huh?
Matches the offense.
Matches what you'd like to happen, but exactly, you know. You know, because he's cheating, he would be cheated, or you know, he's stealing, so then he would become a rat or a monkey or
there.
yeah, down there, yeah, inside there. Okay. Now it's just a matter of after he falls in and it closes, then does it open again and there's a burp and then it closes again, you know, like that. Or, yeah, it comes flying out. Okay. Upon this, the sage became very angry and immediately cursed him to become a crocodile. King Huku was very sorry when cursed in that way, and he begged pardon from the sage. When compassion gave him the benediction, he would be freed when Gajendra was delivered by the personality of Godhead. Thus the crocodile was delivered when killed by Narayana. When Gajendra, by the mercy of the Lord, became one of the Lord's associates in Vaikuntha, he got four hands. Better than 4 feet. Right? This achievement is called Sorupya Mukti, or liberation, or the liberation of receiving a spiritual body, exactly like that of Narayana. Gajendra, in his previous birth, had been a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. His name was Indradumna, and he was the king of the Tamila country, following the Vedic principles. Does that mean he's South Indian?
I don't think he's the same Indradumna.
You sure?
Look, next.
Okay. Following the Vedic principles, this king retired from family life and constructed a small cottage in the Malaya Chala Hills, where he always worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead and science in silence. Agastya Rishi, along with many disciples, once approached King Indradumna's ashram, but because the king was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not receive Agastya Rishi properly. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's not him, because he would have been a king, and as a king he would have retired. I always understood it was the same, but, you know. Thus the Rishi became very angry and cursed the king to become a dull elephant. In accordance with this curse, the king was born as an elephant, and he forgot all about his previous activities in devotional service. Nonetheless, in his birth of an elephant, when he was dangerously attacked by the crocodile, he remembered his past life in devotional service and remembered a prayer he had learned in that life. Because of this prayer, he again received the mercy of the Lord. Thus, he was immediately delivered, and he became one of the Lord's four-handed associates. Sukadev Goswami ends this chapter by describing the good fortune of the elephant. Sukadev Goswami says that by hearing the narration of Gajendra's deliverance, one can also get the opportunity to be delivered. Sukadev Goswami vividly describes this, and thus the chapter ends.
We said that Gajendra was more fortunate because he got to be the Lord's associate.
Yes.
While Huhu became Huhu again?
Yes, it seems that he went back to his position. Mm-hmm. Because he would have had a certain amount of time as a demigod, and then because of the curse, then he loses that position, so now he'll go back and continue. Like that. It's just like Nalukuvarimani Griva, they went back to their position and like that. But now, from seeing the Lord and being, you know, having been killed by the Lord, then their position, now they'll be devotees. So they'll tend to not pull Rishi's legs anymore. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses 1 to 15. Gajendra's previous life as Maharaj Indradumna. 16 to 26. The Lord blesses Gajendra. Verses 1 to 15. Gajendra's previous life as Maharaj Indradumna. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, when the Lord delivered Gajendra, king of the elephants, all the demigod sages and Gandharvas headed by Brahma and Shiva praised the activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and showered flowers upon both the Lord and Gajendra. There was a beating of kettle drums in the heavenly planets. The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka began to dance and sing, while great sages and the inhabitants of Charana Loka and Siddha Loka offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottama. The best of the Gandharvas, King Huhu, having been cursed by Devala Muni, had become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assumed a very beautiful form as a Gandharva. Understanding by whose mercy this had happened, he immediately offered his respectful obeisances with his head and began chanting prayers just suitable for the transcendental Lord, the Supreme Eternal, who is worshipped by the choicest verses. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 4. The story of how the Gandharva had become a crocodile will be described later. The curse by which the Gandharva took this position was actually a blessing, not a curse. One should not be displeased when a saintly person curses someone, for his curse, indirectly, is a blessing. The Gandharva had the mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system. And for him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would take millions of long years. However, because he was cursed by Devala Rishi, he became a crocodile. And in only one life, he was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world, become one of the Lord's associates. So, because they're going to stay there for, you know, on our time, millions of years. And then because of that, then there's a chance they may continue nicely or may come back here because they're into so much enjoyment and everything like that. Then they'll get distracted again, so who knows how long it'll take. But by this, then, why is he making these troubles? Why is he doing this? Because he has material attachment. So what's the so by turning him into a crocodile, that's fitting for what activity he did. But what's actually going to purify him so he doesn't go around pulling sages' legs when they're taking a bath? Is only purify his devotional service. So they arranged it such a way that that's how he gets, just like Narad Muni, Nalakuvari Mani Griva, then were delivered by Krishna. So that's the specialness. So we always have to think, when we're thinking badly about something, what's the benefit that they'll get?
Who? Us?
No. That means the person we're thinking ill towards. You know what I'm saying? Because the sages deal in such a way that the person will get benefit and come to devotional service.
Only if they ask for pardon?
Only if they ask for pardon. I see.
Like.
But did you arrange that they're in front of the Lord in such a way that they will naturally ask for pardon?
No, I meant usually when the sages curse, whoever they curse, they immediately ask for pardon. And then the sages modify the curse.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that straightens everything out. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. The point is that one is said that somebody disturbs you and you are disturbed by that and are angry towards them, then basically the two of you just trade bad qualities. If somebody disturbs and you don't become disturbed, then you develop good qualities and maintain the good qualities. You don't lose anything. So then, but if you, if being disturbed, then you are hoping for their welfare, that they'll come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, then you and the other person get benefit. So in other words, if we're just on the mundane platform, nobody gets benefit. You know, retribution is there, but there's no satisfaction. Right? Then the second one is that you're tolerant like this, so you get benefit. But if you're also tolerant and a well-wisher, then you and them get benefit. So that's the. Shri Sukadeva Goswami continues. Oh, did we get that? Oh, no. Similarly, Gajendra was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was freed from the curse of Agastya Muni. Sukadeva Goswami continues. Having been favored by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and having regained his original form, King Huhu circumambulated the Lord and offered his obeisances. Then in the presence of all the demigods headed by Brahma, he returned to Gandharva Loka. Right now, he could have offered prayers they could have included here, but the Gandharva's kind of prayers have already been included in the, I think it was fifth canto. Like that. So they're not going to be matching what Gajendra had given here, because we're trying to deal with Bhagavan aspect. Right? So, yeah. He had been freed of all sinful reactions. Because Gajendra, king of the elephants, had been touched directly by the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was immediately freed from all material ignorance and bondage. Right? He grabbed Gajendra with his left hand. He killed the crocodile with his right. So he was directly Gajendra was directly touched by the Lord. So that then got rid of all his material ignorance and bondage. Thus he received the salvation of Sarupya Mukti, in which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. Right, so that would also, the demigods would be impressed with that. They ignored this whole thing. The Lord comes himself, frees the guy, the elephant, and now he becomes, you know, a resident of Vaikuntha. Right, so they definitely could not do that, because they would think, okay, they'll come and, you know, save him from the crocodile, you know, and he'll go on living as an elephant. But here, he goes back to Godhead, and the crocodile goes back to Gandharva. So it's a whole different kind of position.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premanandi.